Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and this is the audio diary of my life behind the scenes of YouTube Creator on the 5th of July 2025. It's just after 5 in the morning, and I'm having a glass of raw milk to start the day. Julia is not here, and on those days when Julia's not here, I do tend to get up, as you know, if you're a regular listener, a little earlier than normal. And I often go to bed earlier. And in the summer, of course, it seems to me very important to get up when the sun gets up, take advantage of the daylight. And I am usually at my most creative in the mornings. Although I actually have discovered that I'm also creative at night time. However, I can tend to sit and write, if I'm doing my writing, longer in the morning than I can at night. I suppose there's more energy. Although the creativity is there, the desire to sit at a computer and look at a screen in the evening is what stymies me. And once I've recorded this, I should probably sit and meditate for a bit. But rather than get up and go straight into a little quiet contemplation, meditation, whatever you want to call it, connecting with your higher self, calling into your subconscious, whatever it is, if I get up and do straight into that, I find I'll just fall back to sleep. So, in actual fact, I need to get up and do something, possibly potter around or talk to you guys. Use a little bit of intellect or a little bit of trying to wake myself up business, so to speak. Have a glass of milk as well, just to sort of line the stomach with something. My days are, my mornings rather, are not always the same, because as I say, Julia is sometimes here, sometimes she has to be back for her ex, because he's leaving to go to work early. She's still living, unfortunately, in the same house. And, you know, they've gone their separate ways in terms of marriage. They're divorced. We're still waiting for the decree nicely or whatever it is to come through. But they do like to keep people waiting, don't they? I mean, they would have done the reading, I don't know, 6-8 months ago now. It's just they are very strange people. But, of course, from our perspective, all they've done is separate the legal names. They're Julia and her ex, or anybody come to that who is a real man, as it were, can agree that they are no longer united, that the union is over for... the marriage, of course, is just between one legal entity and another. And so you could argue that people are just not married anyway, unless they agree to a union. And when they've decided that's it, it's over, they may as well just be over. Because we go back to this legal entity, the name, the all caps name, the name that's been registered that isn't you, that you think is you, but can't possibly be you, and even the document that says it's you, it doesn't actually say it's you anyway. It says that this cannot be used as proof of identity, which of course it can't. It's a birth certificate. It's a copy of an entry of birth. That's all it is. It doesn't mean it's you. People struggle. People seem to struggle with this one thing, especially when letters come in their name. And as I have explained many times now, when a letter comes to the legal entity, the legal fiction, you may as well just read Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, Robinson Crusoe. It is a made-up name. It ain't you. Excuse me. Anyway, that was my milk drunk. It is actually a little cooler. This morning, I may have to go and put a jumper on. Not a big jumper, just my tank top or something. After I've done this and I have completed my meditation, I will have a wash. But I am in I'm in some funny little gym shorts, which just sound a bit perverse, but they're ones that my son Billy gave me. Very comfortable, actually. They're like shorts. They're the same sort of size as normal shorts. Go down to your knees and what have you. But they're of a softer material. And I just put a shirt on. But actually, it is a bit chilly. I'm going to... Yesterday morning was absolutely delightful. The sun was shining. We seem to get, at the moment, it seems to be sort of... Well, it's too early to say, really. But there does seem to be these sort of overcast mornings, and then it broadens out into sunshine. It's as almost as if the sun is not putting up with the chemtrailing. And wouldn't that be lovely to think that the sun, which is the life giver, is on our side, that somehow it has a vibration that connects with us. And you know, why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't it? It is the life giver, and without the sun, most creatures on this planet would not exist. And probably no creature would exist. Even those that don't need sunlight, they probably need to eat something that has to have sunlight. And so then they must, you know. Now, let me get this on, because... I was talking the other day, and I want to sort of get onto this thing about who and what we are, and if you remember, I was saying, that's better, I'm warmer now, let's take my glasses off. It's nice to not have to wear the glasses, even though I can't see a bloody thing without them in focus, but I can see. Anyway, let's not get into that conversation. Right, so I was talking about what we are, and when you meditate or you cogitate or when you sort of sit quietly, I suppose is the easiest description. You if you focus in on yourself, it seems to me, I can only talk from my experience, of course, is that you realise that you are some form of consciousness, as I've explained before, and that the time is only now, that there is no other time. The past is just remembrances, and the future is a potential that has yet to happen, may not happen, and never does happen, the future, because the time is always now. And because the time is always now, you are all there is, and all there ever can be, and all there ever will be, because you can't get at anything else. I mean, to me, this is the core thing about everything. You can't get at anything else unless you use your senses, which are an agency that you need to employ. And so that means your senses may well be lying to you, they may be telling you the truth, but you can't get at the reality of the 3D world in front of you. I find this concept absolutely staggering. Even though, on the one hand, we are trapped within this body, and until the body dies, and then there has to be a release, and yet we're not really in the body at all. It's a kind of illusion, because we just are. And when you take your... Hang on, I'm gonna sneeze. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. There's some tissues over here. Dear, oh dear. The chemtrailing stuff does get up your nose, doesn't it? You've got to blow it out. Sorry about that. So, does that make you... I mean, that's an interesting thing, just mentioning the chemtrails there. Ultimately, it would seem to me that you are an observer. And that's all you are, really. Because you just are, and you are a consciousness, you are an observer of this life that is unfolding around you. It is almost as if you are watching a film and feeling emotions, but they're not really yours as such. You're feeling them, but it's as if they don't really belong to you. And besides, they're fleeting, aren't they? Emotions are fleeting. One minute you're happy, one minute you're sad, one minute you're confused, and one minute you're feeling down or up or puzzled or whatever, you know. Sometimes you're not even feeling anything. I mean, when I sit here now, what am I feeling? I'm feeling calm, I'm feeling relaxed, I'm not feeling anxious. I don't feel any tension. I feel a certain amount of enjoyment, but it's not super enjoyment. I mean, I'm obviously thrilled to be talking to you. I enjoy having these conversations with you. Otherwise, I would stop this. Wouldn't bother. There is no real motivation to do it other than the enjoyment of unfurling my thoughts and sticking them onto, well, I was going to say onto tape, but it's not really tape, is it? Onto the, on here, and being aware that you are listening, but not really being aware that you, I can't see you. As I sit here, I do not see you in the room, sitting there, listening, as if I had actually anything of any use to say. So in some ways it's a very much a one-way thing, and because very rarely do I get an email from anybody who's heard me talk, it's almost like, I suppose in some way, cathartic, talking to perhaps an intimate friend to offload something. But not all the time, of course. Not all the time. So this conscious being is conscious of these emotions and is observing and maybe recording. Now that's an interesting thing. Am I recording this? Is one's life recorded beyond what one can see? They talk about the Akashic records, don't they? Is that you, the conscious being, subconsciously recording to a memory bank of some description? Or is all that just hocus pocus? Because it's difficult to know. So if you are all there is and all there ever will be and all there ever was, then again this comes back to this business about, are you God? Which of course is a very, on the face of it, is a very arrogant statement, because God is a loaded concept. And man have been wrestling with this concept of, I suppose, a higher authority, a higher power, a creator, or something that has made everything. Where has it all come from? We haven't made it. And that's, from the physical 3D space, that is extremely powerful when it comes to pushing back against government authority, public authority, councils, and so forth. Because they may claim to have authority over you, and they may actually have some authority over you if you've agreed to give them it. But you can rescind that. They don't really have any authority over you. They may have bigger sticks, and they may have more people in comedy uniforms, and they may cajole and push and treat you badly. But ultimately, despite all of that, even if they throw you in jail, they still actually don't have that authority over you. It may be hard to resist them, let's put it that way. But they do not have that authority, because, especially if you take it away. Because, of course, they did not make you. And they were born with the same basic conditions that you were. They may have been born into families that have illusionary power, or more money and affluence, or they may not, and they may have worked their way up and got what we call jobs or professions, and in their training of those professions they may feel that they have more power, or that somehow along the line, because of titles, they have gained an authority over you. But, of course, they haven't at all, because you really only gain an authority over something you create. And the created, which they have also been created, cannot have more power than the creator. If I create, for the sake of argument, a little animal, and I've managed to give it life, which of course I couldn't, no matter how much people say that they can create life, if I create something, I suppose with my partner one could create life, of course, so yes. But did I create the life, or did I just help bring together two seeds that the life was created somehow, the fusion of life was created elsewhere? That's a discussion for another day. Let's not talk too much about that. But yeah, so, but whatever you create, if you've created it from scratch, it's yours. The government didn't create us. We created the government, as we know. And we said, you've got these powers. You've got these powers. And if you act in this certain way, we will obey the rules that we all agree on. And now we've seen those powers turn on their head, and the people and these government figures thinking, ah, we have control of everything. And we see this fake whole business with the election and MPs and everything else, and it's all rubbish because they didn't really create us, so they don't actually have the power at all. Especially if we tell them, thank you very much, I'm not in your game. Your game is corrupt, and you have changed the rules, and you're not working in the way that it was supposed to work. So I've left your game, thank you very much. And it does take a bit of effort to do that. But who is and what is the ultimate creator then that has created you? Well, we're coming back to this consciousness. Now, a lot of people seem to think, and by the way, I'm not saying anything that I say in this is correct or right. I would like people to disprove it, though, or prove otherwise. However, so who created us is the question then. Who did it? If I am, my consciousness tells me, as in my experience, the only experience that I have, for I cannot guarantee that anything else is really true, when you go into this, into your inner self, as it were, that I am all there is, the moment is now, I am all there ever was and all there ever will be, for it is an eternal unfolding, then where is anything else, including God? Some people see God as a separate entity, but I cannot see that. I cannot see that there is anything else other than my consciousness. And you, if you are following where I'm going, and this makes sense or resonates with you, and it may not, you may have turned it off by now and gone, oh God, he's talking about this stuff again, I don't believe it, it's rubbish, you know, just you're just a human, you're just wandering around, you've got these set of senses, and you know, it appears that you are the only thing there is, but clearly you're not, because I've encountered others. Well, this may be true, this is the illusion that I feel is there. And you listening may also, though, so there'd be those that you don't experience that, but there may be some of you that do experience the same and go, well, hang on a minute, I experience what you're talking about, Richard, but where are you? Well, I probably don't exist in your consciousness. Well, then you may argue, well, if you don't exist in my consciousness, that I am the only thing there ever is and never was and never will be, then how can you do the same? And I suppose the logical conclusion of all of that is that we are all the same, that we are all part of the same, in the way that a drop of water is made of water and that the sea is made of water, and that all drops are made of water, so that we are somehow the same, and yet sort of individual, but yet we really are just the ocean. And we are drops of water in an illusionary sense, that we're not really drops of water, that we just are the ocean. But so in other words, our deep consciousness, our deep sense of who we are, is this body of water, of which there is nothing else, just water. This is a simile. Is it a simile? Or a metaphor? A metaphor. That if we are this body of water, and yet at the same time, we have the illusion that we're drops. Does that make sense? I think that makes sense, that although we are actually just maybe a river of consciousness, that we have the illusion that we are drops, independent drops of water, but actually that thin skin around the drops that separates one drop from another is not really there. It's an illusion. And our consciousness is the same consciousness throughout every living creature, or at least every man or woman. that our consciousness is exactly the same, which may be why some people can connect to another and understand their thoughts, read their minds to a certain degree. But that illusion of the skin that is encapsulating those the droplets of water is, while we're in that illusion of the droplet of water, it is just thick enough to stop us fully immersing with another drop of water, in the way that if you change the from the water and just say that we are air, and a bubble is air, there's a bubble of air with a skin around it, and so in the way that bubbles can bounce off one another, that the skin that in, so I'm not talking about physical skin as in that, I'm talking about a metaphysical skin, I suppose. So like in a bubble that is can bounce in air, and then, well, a bubble, I suppose, is, again, whichever way you want to talk about it, whether it's water or air, let's just go with air for a minute, because that's quite interesting. Because if we are all bubbles with the skin around us, but we are in fact, a bubble floating in air, but when you burst that bubble, you are now air. You know, your air is the air of everybody else's air, as it were. And that could be what we see when we die, isn't it? As if the bubble is burst and the inner part of us, the air, is still there. It's not really changed. Nothing really happens. The air on the inside of the bubble is now with the outside. And the skin of that bubble is relates to us as the ego. I think that must be where it is. The ego is this very thin skin that is wrapped around the body of water or the body of air, whatever, and for a while it can bounce about and be separate, and yet it is obviously permeable for the water in, I believe, or the air in the bubble, whichever metaphor you want, is breathable, so that the air on the inside of the bubble can contact, if it so wishes, the air in the atmosphere, as it were, the truth of everything. And I think that's what happens when you go and you meditate and you get to a certain degree, that the ego sort of dissolves temporarily while you're in that state. And so therefore, that ego and that skin, for all intents and purposes, has gone. That you're no longer, while you're deeply meditating, you're no longer a man or woman. Your consciousness, the you, the real you, is back in touch with itself and is no longer thinking. It is just being. So I haven't answered that question about, well, where is God? Well, clearly there is no outside for a God to be looking down benevolently on you and making things happen. So therefore you are God or the Creator, but not as in you the ego, but you, this consciousness, this body of water, this air, whatever it is, you know, this body of consciousness is the God. It is the source. It is the universe. It is everything. And I can't see any other way that it can be, really. There is no, and of course this, you know, when you talk about air or a body of water, you know, the illusion doesn't work terribly well because you say, well, where is the edge of the water? But the there isn't, because consciousness is just is, you know, and this concept of the world and the universe and everything is difficult for us to conceive because we think of it as being contained somehow. And the flat earth people with their, oh yes, there's a, you know, what do they call it, a firmament over the top, so it begins to start to resemble a bloody paperweight on somebody's desk. I mean, it is actually quite ridiculous. I mean, it can be anything really, because it doesn't really exist. That's the whole point. The earth, the planets and everything, they don't really exist, because all that really exists, they exist for us in this 3D version of us, but they don't really exist, because it is actually just an illusion that we create, because we can't touch it, we can't feel it, we can't do anything with it. And it's convenient for the ego's existence, this stuff, to learn and play. And we have learnt that really the last 100 years has been such a mistake. We haven't developed really as we should have done, because people have taken control of these things. I know I need to end really, don't I? Because I've been going on a bit. But the final part of this, I suppose, is just the fact that if you are all there ever is, all there ever was, and all there ever will be, then whilst the ego, the skin of the bubble, can pop, the you that's in it, the body of water, the air, the consciousness, you know, the consciousness does not die. And while this bubble, the tiny, almost unimportant part, which is the ego, the skin of the bubble, that is almost unimportant. Because it is a bubble is only there for a short time anyway, and is going to pop at some point. In fact, a bubble is very, very good metaphor for it. For at some point, the bubble, it exists for a time, and then pop. But what has changed? Only the fact that that little bubble was there, but the air inside the bubble is reunited with the air outside, and who knows, that air may get encapsulated into another bubble and it goes on. And so therefore the ego is irrelevant really in the greater scheme of things, and it doesn't matter. And so, you know, they could have stormtroopers and bombers and things, and they can, these evil people, because the evil people only exist, you know, the idea of Satan and all of this, that only exists in that very thin ego skin. Does not exist. I mean, think of a bubble. How much on the inside is so much bigger and pure than the oily skin that creates the bubble? And I think a bubble is really actually such a good metaphor for who we are. And it is the evil people, the people that want to do bad things, they only exist within that skin of the bubble, that ego. And once they popped your bubble, they have not really damaged anything. They have just stopped you being a bubble. But that's not to say you couldn't come back as a bubble, and you probably do come back as a bubble. And they are just as... their bubble will equally burst, as they do, no matter how much they seem to say, oh, you know, we can live forever and we're ever so powerful and we'll have all the money. All they're dealing with is this tiny thin. This is all they are, this thin. And when you, I suppose, when you realise that is all they are no better and no worse than you in terms of their thing, except their ideas are full of hate and what have you. But they are just as vulnerable to being burst as you are. But underneath that, the hatred and stuff has been is not there. For their consciousness is just as pure. It's just they've chosen not to look at it in their thin skin. Whereas we,
potentially we, are realizing that our skin around the bubble is clearer. Theirs is muddied. Theirs is smoky grey. They can't see that they have inside their bubble, inside the skin of their bubble, they can't see what pure magic, the purity of life. They cannot see that. In fact, their skin, because of their hatred and stuff, has probably distorted the inside a bit, not enough. Whereas ours, the more we become aware, oh, I'm actually a bubble, this skin is almost irrelevant, that actually the truth is beyond, is inside, that I'm connected with the great everything, then it's almost transparent. And when we meditate, that skin is so transparent you can't see it. I don't know whether that's useful, helpful, or any more confusing than anything else that I've ever said, but it does seem to make a lot of sense to me. And so therefore, yes, this consciousness is God, is whatever it is. And maybe in our next conversation, when I sit down and think like this, maybe one can work out how that then can benefit the skin. Because if you think of bubbles, and this is interesting, I think bubbles is really good. You get big bubbles and small bubbles. And I suppose the bigger the bubble, the more consciousness is within it, which would indicate that evil people are small bubbles because they are more ego than anything else, than consciousness. Interesting, isn't it? Anyway, thank you for listening, if you did. And if you didn't, I'm going to sit and meditate now. I shall upload this shortly. You're already asleep. Until next time, goodbye.